going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The show is back. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. Say it with your chest. Say it with conviction. On Afternoon Drive. How in the hell are we doing today? It is a football Friday. It is an F off Friday. Hell, it's just the end of the damn week. And we got to get into the of last night. The Cleveland Browns trading down. I mean, certain people, I thought they were going to be surprised. They weren't surprised. You just never know what's going to surprise anybody in this damn town. But Mason Graham taken with the fifth pick. Oh, yeah, they picked up another second rounder this year and a future first rounder. There will be some Cavs and some Guardians talk at some point. We'll get to that later. But the Browns, I mean, shook up the first round of the draft. We got Jake Murren both on the board. Yes. And behind the glassy knoll there, Anthony Alland. We'll get to him later. But he is going to be phone screening for us today and doing 2020s. Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. I imagine you feel pretty good. In fact, I know you feel pretty good because you have just been beaming all day long.
I mean, in reality, the last 24 hours and all of yesterday, amazing day. Right, we had the great event at Razzle's. Yeah. The sun was out. I looked like Weekend at Bernie's, Nick Wilson. I'm just in sunglasses. Is he alive? Is he not?
Had a bunch of wings. That was fun, too.
Oh, the best wings. I had a great hike in the morning, so I didn't feel like a full fatty when I was digesting the wings.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. Yesterday was the perfect day, and then at night you come home. And I mean, I've just been trying to push back on certain ideas. It's not that Travis Hunter wasn't a special player. No. It was that the idea of one of the things, and this is not just a me, this is not just a Nick was right, this was a we were right. One of the things we both pointed out at multiple points in the last 4 weeks is this is over the top what people are saying about Travis Hunter.
Right.
And this all plays into the Browns' hands. But no, it's set in stone. The Browns aren't going to trade down. And yet they did. And you know what? Before we get into any of that, because there's 5 hours. I mean, there's 5 hours. May I just say that I am proud of you?
Well, yeah, why is that?
Because today you wore in your Shedeur Sanders number 2 jersey when you could, like a lot of people today who have said, oh, I saw this coming, or played one piece of audio where they said something could happen, but then, oh, I said it was going to happen.
Well, that's why it's really weird if all day today I'm like, I was right about this while wearing a number 2 Shedeur Sanders jersey.
While a lot of people are fronting
very,
today.
I'm very aware of how this went down for me.
And needing to be right, though they are, I mean, dramatically wrong. I mean, laughably wrong. The fact that they took all the Travis Hunter smoke and just inhaled it, and now today tried to take victory laps, not doing that.
That was after they took the Shedeur Sanders smoke, the Abdul Carter smoke, and then the Travis Hunter smoke, and inhaled that greatly as well.
They literally wanted all the smoke. But But
and they got it
for you to wear the Shed jersey
in
today.
It was a bet. I mean, it was a bet that was part of the deal. Like, I'm not wearing this in support of Shador being taken number 33 overall because I don't think that's what's going to happen. Mainly because, let's be honest with it, they're doing this differently. There was two ways they could have gone. This is the other way. It's not the way that I would have advised, but that's fine. It's neither here nor there.
Is there any part of you that is protecting your feelings on that one? Like, you're prepared for disappointment
if anything,
in case they break your ankles and take Shador 33 or 36?
No, I would just be very surprised. The hard part, you're trying to get inside these guys' heads, and apparently you're the only one that can do it.
I mean,
apparently you're the only one that can penetrate and get through.
People said that for a while.
I don't know that this is... I'm going to give you your flowers. I'll give you your victory lap, whatever you want to do with it, because you are the only person that was adamant for 4 months they need to trade down,
mm-hmm.
and you're the only person that for 4 months was like, this isn't it, they need to do this next year. Only person I heard do that. You see, the sobering part about all this, though, and the part that I think maybe at some point you're going to look around and say to yourself, oh, no. Do you want to be that in bed with the logic of what Andrew Berry is? I don't know. It would scare me, honestly,
if I was
that parallel thinking to a man that in the previous 5 years has drafted one Pro Bowler in the previous 35 picks, and no one trusts to even use these picks.
Nothing has made me second-guess myself more than everything they did last night I loved.
We both called for his job.
Yep. So you were talking, though, about
it's kind of scary if they nail it exactly the way you want.
You were talking about the comedown of, well, okay, I now have to accept where they are and what they're going to do, and now I'm a little sad about it. That's where I was in January.
And that's where I'm at today.
I was a stark raving lunatic in January for two reasons. One, I realized that the previous window was done. They had cooked it. The Deshaun thing blew this thing up, and they blew it wide open, and it was more than just a Diet Coke fix. But the other part of it was, at the time, the Browns were telling everyone it was just that quarterback. Even though we watched that team fall apart, but whether it's injuries, age, whatever you want to say it is, complete failure of culture. So to watch that organization go, it was all that, we just need a quarterback, we'll be back in it. Well, don't worry. If we just get a quarterback, we'll be in the playoffs and you'll be the idiot. So I was infuriated by those two things. So all the disappointment, I've already processed. Because now it's just, here's where I'm at. You did the thing that is the hardest thing to do. You accepted your fate.
Yeah.
At no point in the three previous years did they accept their fate that Deshaun Watson was cooked. And I didn't, guys. All right, I'm not going to start the show with an I was right, because I was wrong about Deshaun. I was squinting real hard against, maybe that one throw against the Raiders. I wanted it so bad because I didn't want the opposite to be true. And then the truth in January smacked me square in the chin, and I had to take the medicine. So the Browns showing you, Andrew Berry, guys, this was not a popular opinion in the moment. People were hair on fire pissed off about it. Do you realize a franchise that already knows you want, and some of us want them gone, you realize how hard it is to do the long-term thinking? Like, I get it. You don't have to like it. This is where, because anytime you say anything, people are like, oh, well, you're co-signing. Actually, I'm co-signing this. But no, it's more the idea of this is not a self-interested move by Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. They could not.
They could not be here.
To make that pick next year.
They could be not here. This also could be the easiest way of guaranteeing them not only a chance to get this thing headed in the right direction, but then to evaluate a quarterback next year and then be able to see that quarterback's life through as well.
Yeah, could.
Like, if they had taken Shador.
Are you doing the Lima here? You're going to say could, so in a year you get to say you were right?
We're just playing out the scenarios is all. But, like, the reality is they could have taken Shador Sanders, and then if Shador had absolutely flamed out, guess what? They're out of a job and done. Like, the easiest path to extending their career. I hate the idea that this is motivating the best interest of the Browns. I think both things can be true. Sports radio cliche, so you know I mean it. But the idea that they actually can have their employment extended by waiting to take a quarterback is 100% reality.
So I just think Andrew Berry doing what he did last night, I think it took guts. You and I might disagree on that. I think it took guts. I think it took more guts than anything they've done. And honestly, I think it takes if you consider where you are now, I think it takes more guts than the Deshaun thing. They took no blowback. I mean, locally, they took minimal blowback for trading for Deshaun and moving for Baker. Comparative, because it was always, well, it's the Deshaun play. And if this works out, you're winning Super Bowls, right?
They took a lot of blowback, Nick.
You don't have, not, I mean,
For Deshaun Watson?
You also, nationally, yes. Locally, you had as much rah-rah as you did blowback.
There was a lot of blowback, Nick.
Last night was 80% negative.
That was a back massage.
It was 50-50 with Deshaun.
That was a back massage
easy.
Compared to Deshaun Watson.
Easy with that verbiage there.
Oh, that was just subconscious. Wasn't intentional.
Good Lord.
That wasn't intentional at all.
I mean.
Just Watson, it just went, my brain went there.
Who'd have thought that I started the show out for blood and Peterlin would be the one to draw first blood? So listen, I have zero problem if you don't like where the Browns are. I get it. It is a tough thing to accept. But I am overjoyed that the collection of media members, some of whom are on this station, who spent the entire offseason saying everything that could happen, right? But nothing that they thought would happen or should happen. It was just whatever the recent trend was, all in the name of, I want to be right, which is the worst trash you can actually be in sports talk. Like, no one gives a rip. There's no scoreboard. Yeah. And you act like you're above everybody if you get one thing right and you conveniently forget all the things you got wrong. So I get to turn into I was right guy today.
I was going to say, simply, it's going to be interesting because you're going to turn into simply, I was right to a T all day long.
Simply to shame the fraudulent bad faith actors who even today tried to tell you, we had this whole thing. Say it with your chest. Yeah, okay. I got something I'll say with my chest. I just won't say it on air.
I like how happy you are. I like how joyed you are. You should be, because they did the plan you wanted, and they're going to execute the plan that you wanted. For me, it's a little bit different today. Today is that sobering reality that this upcoming season is probably going to suck, Nick.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. I think that's a great place to start here. How different is your reaction today than last night? If you were one of the frothing at the mouth, and I get it. I understood that everyone brought into the Travis Hunter smoke, and some of you brought into the smoke, and so I understand the disappointment, but has your, whether it was a good reaction, bad reaction, has it changed since last night? We've got quick hits coming up at 2:40. Very heavy in the draft there. We've got Mary Kay Cabot at 3. We've got Mason Graham's defensive line coach from Michigan, Lou Esposito, coming up at 3:20. John Fanta. Guys, we're going to let you know what John Fanta sees coming up at 4:20. And we got the Mason Graham press conference coming up at 5. As we get you ready here, introduce you to the latest Cleveland Browns. I also want to know, or we want to know, where's your head at where it comes to the 33 and 36 picks? Send those in. And Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. But how different is your reaction today than last night? And you and I will be doing the exact same thing this season. Me and the I Was Right crowd will be doing the exact same thing this season. We're just going to be doing it for opposite reasons. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I think what's interesting about that is I've seen people that heard Andrew Berry's explanation of it, and it actually raised their pitch yesterday. But I do think a fair amount of fans who immediately, the second that it came out that the Browns were trading down to 5, and then I do think a compounding factor was taking a defensive player, and one that I don't think any show but you and me talked about, in Mason Graham.
In fact, we talked about him so much, we gave him a nickname and then revoked that nickname.
We did, and again, if you want to hear that one, go back to about 3 months ago. We tried it.
We banned it.
But it just didn't work.
And I still think it works.
I just don't know. Nah,
it's just a little problematic is all.
I think we like being employed more than we like having a
Jake,
being,
should that nickname stay banned?
I'm having a hard time remembering what it is.
Then yes.
Wow.
Then yes, it
wow.
should.
So memorable,
it absolutely
huh?
yeah. should.
You really don't remember it?
No, I don't.
But right. it's so.
I'll
I was,
tell you in between the breaks. I know it's problematic.
My entire view of the draft, the night one of the draft, was shaped by the cojones on Andrew Berry to make that trade. I really don't think that. I know it's hard to give that dude credit, but like, Travis, that people, and it was obvious to you and me. Because we talked about this on and off air for the last 2 weeks.
So many times.
It was obvious how Browns fans were going to be upset if it was Abdul Carter at 2.
Well, and everyone just built themselves up. But the obvious part was The Ohtani line.
Yes.
I mean, the unicorn line. Like, he was telling you without telling you. And, again, we spent how many days being like, this is not how he normally does this. I got so many texts with different friends over there, like, cover different teams, and me being like, he's a wild card.
Yep.
He loves to shake it up for a reason, and he doesn't speak this way about players. It's just never – it was very clear that something was up. And now we find out today that apparently the deal's been done since April 7th.
Yeah.
That one was interesting. I mean, I know they've been working on the deal for a minute. That's another thing that I'm mildly impressed about.
That they kept it in-house?
If it really has been done, in principle, for almost a full month, one, you just earned massive flowers,
I mean,
in the NFL offenses.
It seems impossible to be able to pull that off. Like, think of the people that got duped in this process in believing that. We had Albert Breer, who's one of the more trusted, more inside people you'll ever find. That's why we have him on every single Tuesday. On Tuesday, he said this pick was a lock.
Yep, and I'm going to tell you right now, there is a troll element to what the Browns did with this. And maybe this is because it worked out. And I'm not saying they trolled you guys, because I don't think the Browns think like that. But I think they enjoyed making a fair amount of media members, not just in this town, but nationally, look pretty stupid with the Travis Hunter to the Browns at 2 is set in stone.
Yeah, I mean, they strung a lot of people along, but again, they've been doing this they've been doing this for a while. Now, I do wonder what the motives are if they had the deal in place since April 7th. I do wonder why they went out and spoke the way that they did. Was it to get anything extra out of Jacksonville? If the deal was in place, that doesn't seem necessary.
I wonder if it was just part of the, hey, if you're asked about him, make sure to talk him up kind of thing. Like, as if they came out and, I mean, listen, you might have had the deal done in principle on the 7th. You weren't completing it until you were on the clock.
Like, in a sad way, yeah. No, but that's the other part of that, too, is you do have to make sure that the deal makes it to the finish line. I guess it could... I guess if you came out and you said something that was negative, and then negative Travis Hunter stuff came out there.
Or even just neutral.
Well, yeah, but like the GM for Jacksonville, what's his name, Gladstone?
Yeah.
He could easily just take it back then.
Yeah.
The same way the Browns, if they got a better offer, could have easily just revoked it and said, hey, sorry, 34-year-old new GM, first-year GM, this is how the league works. Welcome to the NFL.
216-474-0092. Also, the open in today's show was brought to you by the Browns Radio Network in ESPN. So we asked the question, how different is your reaction today than last night? Doc in Alaska saying, I may have overreacted. I still hate the pick at 5. At 5, you should get a difference maker.
There are so many people that hated that pick.
And
we're so mad last night that I feel like I've calmed down today.
We'll get more into this with the Mason Graham thing.
It's got nothing to do with you, Mason Graham.
Like, stop gauging whether you think the guy can pass rush off of 9 career sacks. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know how anyone watched the Michigan game and didn't come away with Mason Graham was the best football player in the Big Ten this year. Best draft eligible football player. We do love some Jeremiah Smith here. Had to walk that one back. But no, I mean, Mason Graham on a defense the last 2 years that has been loaded with NFL players was the apparent best defensive lineman, best football player that they've had. J.J. McCarthy was a top 11 pick. Like, think of all the top 15, top 20, top 32 picks Michigan's had the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Mason Graham was the most disruptive player they had. He is a really good football player. I don't like the painting of him as a high floor guy. Mike saying, I've calmed down and I'm getting geared up to be upset again.
Yeah. I mean, I feel you. It's such a hard day for me because I want to balance out the idea that you nailed it to a T. You've had this thing right for 4 months. Well, I mean, you've had Andrew Berry and what the Browns are going to do right for 4 months. Obviously, the draft will tell us exactly what...
They still have to hit on the picks.
And they do. They have to. That's a hard part that's another angle to this, too, is a lot of people have a hard time with the idea of, like, great, you acquired a bunch of picks, and you won the draft, so to speak, but then it's still Andrew Berry making these picks.
Well,
and we don't have much faith in that.
Specifically to that, when we talk about the trade, everyone's like, well, you feel comfortable with him making these picks? I'm like, well, if the first 3 guys on this draft aren't obvious NFL football players throughout the 2025 season, Andrew Berry won't be making the picks next year. This isn't about, for Andrew, it's not about wins and losses.
Oh, you see, I think there's a long play here. And I think this is part of why they didn't take a quarterback, as I alluded to in the first segment. The idea that I don't know that they'll feel like, and by they, I mean the Haslams, they can fire Andrew Berry without giving him an actual crack at having a real quarterback on the roster and having him to go.
Is whatever that they told him, is that written in their blood?
No, listen. I told you for how long? Listen, how long have I told you this? If you're trusting Jimmy Haslam in this process, you're a dope. I would never trust Jimmy Haslam for the job security portion of this. But if you're Andrew Berry, I could easily see how he thinks that until he picks an actual quarterback, the clock doesn't even really start yet.
I do think there's something that myself and Travis Hunter stands. The people are there very upset last night that thought Travis Hunter was going to single-handedly save the Browns organization.
Or at least be interesting and fun. Yeah. I don't know about save the Browns organization, but that's part of what got robbed from us last night, is that there was something that was interesting, there was something that made the Browns watchable. There's something that Travis Hunter alone was worth two primetime games this upcoming season. Now that's just, it's gone.
I don't know if we're going to want this team on primetime. There's literally no
difference.
Not this
team, not without Travis Hunter.
But there's literally no difference in the win total from Travis Hunter to Mason Graham.
No, but there's a fun difference.
I don't. Okay.
And that matters for people.
No, it does, and that's fair. I think it's fine if you want the fun part of this, but I think the similarities between myself and Travis Hunter fanatics, people who are upset today about this move, we're going to be doing the same thing this year. Because I got shouted down. I was like, guys, he's not a finished product. There's some risk here. And then anyone who bought into all the various reports about this guy being the second coming of both Deion Sanders and Jerry Rice, we're all going to be watching Travis Hunter. And if Travis Hunter puts up 1,500 yards and 8 interceptions this year, your boy's going to be eating some stuff on it. If Travis Hunter has 700 yards receiving, no interceptions, and maybe just kind of looks like a rookie that's adapting to the NFL, well, you will see an I Was Right Vengeance tour most of next year.
Well, we're also going to have it mean, it'll mean twice as much, because we'll be watching Jaguars games just as much as Browns games this year.
You know, the funny thing is, I'm going to watch the stat line. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch extra stuff.
I'm watching. Oh, what do you mean? Like, I watch everything. I'm going to watch this.
I guess my point is, I'm going to be following his trajectory the next couple of years very closely. It is only to go, oh, hey, remember that sure thing? Like, that's where my head's at with it. To me, this is not Julio Jones and Phil Taylor. Like, they went from six, and Julio Jones was the last of six potential franchise players in the top six of the 11 draft to 26, and then a trade back up to get Phil Taylor, which was wild because they have one of the third rounders to do it.
It's a good thing we had Thomas Dimitrov on last week. Last week. It was Tuesday.
That was a 20-pick drop, and the difference between Julio Jones and his grade and Phil Taylor's was night and day. I looked on ESPN. They had Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter both rated as a 94-grade prospect. They had Cam Ward, 92. They had Will Campbell as a 92. You know what they had Mason Graham?
Like 93, 94?
93.
Yeah, I mean,
so that virtually not,
the only
not,
person
no,
I
but,
can find that said anything bad about him, Nick, is Brian Baldinger,
which is another thing that made me second guess myself in a Herculean level.
The only one that has said anything at all that's wrong about this player, but it's not about him though. It's not about him. It's about the position that he plays, and it's about taking Travis Hunter away from people when for 2.5 weeks you basically convinced everyone that Travis Hunter was going to be the guy. And there's an acknowledgement here too as well, Nick, that next year is going to stink. And it's fine. We have to take a couple steps back to take a few steps, maybe like 12 steps forward, and it's what you have to do, but that doesn't make the fun factor any less.
216-474-0092. How closely will you track Travis Hunter's career over the next year or two? And guys, if Mason Graham is really good and the Browns get a number one pick 5 years from now, we won't be talking about Julio Jones and Phil Taylor. Let's go with, where do you want to go on this one?
Oh, I hate when you do this because then I feel like I'm robbing everyone else.
Where do you want to go?
But Carl seems great.
Carl in Springfield, welcome to the show.
Well, Carl's always great. What's up, boys?
What's up, Carl?
How much? What you got?
I am over the moon with what we did. It astounds me that I think Browns fans just want to be miserable no matter what happens. We trade all of our picks to try to get Deshaun Watson, and we hate that because we gave up all of our assets. We trade back to get assets. We hate that. We should have taken somebody that is an impact player. You know who's Mason Graham's going to make an impact on? Our linebackers, who aren't going to have guards running clean to them every single play. He's going to make an impact on Mike Hall and are other pass rushers. It's like you have to know what you're looking at in the game of football and not just the fun guys on the outside or things like that. And for all the people that are the Travis Hunters and, oh, well, you know, why not take Genty and things like that, that's like when you slice your drive and then you punch your three wood through the trees and make a great shot, but then you still three putt and score a seven on the hole because the rest of your game sucks.
Been there, Carl.
Matter.
Have you been watching the golf recently, Carl?
Exactly. One good thing that you think is great is not going to make the rest of everything better. What we did is great. We fleeced Jacksonville. We got a great setup for next year. We got a fun night tonight. Let's go get a running back, a receiver, and let's keep it moving.
Carl, we appreciate you, buddy. I do love. I mean, here's the thing, guys. It's a shame they only have two picks in the first five picks of this draft. Emin Worry, the kid from South Carolina, is a stud. I can't. Mike Green, I honestly can't believe the edge.
We got to talk about Mike Green. You want to do it now?
I don't think we have time, but I like me some Mike Green.
I'm worried about the character issues.
I mean,
if anybody takes a chance on a character issue guy, it's the Browns.
That's a really good point. You know what? All right. But Mason Taylor, Luther Burden, like they're legitimate, like maybe day, not maybe. I'm not going to couch that. They're legitimate day one starters available right now, and I haven't even gotten to some of the running backs that are available there. 216-474-0092. How close will you track Travis Hunter's career going forward? This is about Mason Graham. This is about what happens with that number one pick. We're going to take more of your reaction and quick hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Yeah, do you think maybe he got plugged into what was going on? And by the way, if they did that...
You know he almost... If you watch the video, dude almost says it. But he was like... there was like a moment where he's like, I'm not going
to
say that.
You don't want to be sent to the principal's office right away, right? Like, I mean, you're still in the honeymoon phase. Everything's supposed to be great.
After it's over, he can't get in trouble, right?
Yeah, you can still get in trouble, probably.
Why?
What are they going to do to him? I don't know what they do to him in that scenario.
The Browns and Jags did the NFL the best favor they could have done.
By keeping it tight-lipped?
Well, yeah, because then, I mean, all week, everyone kept going, a lot of action, a lot of Jaguars, the team to watch. And then that played out in real time. The trade didn't happen until the Browns were on the clock. Like, in terms of watchability, it made that draft so much more watchable than this trade had happened on April 7th.
To the point that it actually completely overtook any Cam Ward love that Cam Ward was expected to get.
Oh, my God. I felt bad for Cam.
Completely zapped him from any sort of love being the number one overall pick.
I felt so bad for him.
Just completely non-thought in that draft.
I mean, who was the clown? Was it Booger McFarland? That they're showing Cam Ward on the thing. Cam Ward's like, I think it was Booger was like, I would have taken Shador. Like, are you kidding me?
The draft presentation in general was odd because they didn't have anybody tipping them any sort of picks or anything. And so every time it got to be a quarterback, even at number nine, and you were sitting there and wondering what the Saints were going to do, but we all kind of knew at home what was happening. You just heard 2 minutes of Mel Kiper being like, this is where Shador goes. It's like, like, Mel, it's not happening, buddy.
All
and
right.
Then Booger did exactly what you're saying right there. And just the weirdest of moments. And we can talk about the broadcast as a whole later on. But man, was it just weird.
I got so many thoughts on that one. But let's get to quick hits here.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, JP, I thought it was a tremendous first round. It was a little light on chaos, but it was heavy on just a lot of really fun moments. I personally loved Alabama guard, now Dallas guard, Tyler Booker's Bo Derek impression, where he was running to the stage, and Tyler, like myself, is a big man, and there was just a lot of movement.
He was great.
There was a lot of movement on that.
He had the chain and everything, that was massive.
I loved the energy. Did you have a favorite moment from last night?
Might be the baby.
Kelvin Banks Jr.'s baby.
Yeah, I think that was it for me. That was the, out of the group chat shares that I had, that was probably the most frequent.
The mom Twitter last night was so judgmental of Kelvin Banks Jr.'s girlfriend, wife, and she was holding the baby. She starts clapping, and the baby's just like...
That baby was out for like a roller coaster ride. It was ridiculous.
It's like,
that poor baby.
Brain damage can't happen, sweetheart.
And we've all been there, right? Yeah. We're like, oh, man. But how do you even think about... You want the baby in the shot.
By the way,
you want to be excited, too.
That
baby
only,
just...
that only happens with the first baby.
Yeah.
By the time you get to the second one, you know how to juggle the excitement of a moment and the baby.
And the baby throws up, too, is the best part. It just vomits all
Slow
over.
Slow motion, too.
So just great.
I love that. I love the Matthew Golden stuff. I love the Go Pack Go stuff, which we might play in a minute.
That was cool. Weird moment, though, where, you know, because the Packers are going to boo everything Bears, right? Yeah. That's how that's set up. Big rivalry. And they... Goodell knows that, but then he couches it with the passing of Mongo McMichael.
And not just that.
And it was like all the Packers fans didn't know it. They booed heavily with any sighting of the Bears. And then it's like, and Steve Mongo McMichael passes away from ALS at the age of 67. And all the Packers fans felt like the biggest jerks in the world.
Not just that, but then Roger stumbled and he said tharts and prayers.
Oh, were you praying, by the way? They did that stupid bike routine in the very front of the draft. Were you praying that Roger Goodell fell and just ate it on that bike?
I was praying for chaos. I won't say it the way you said it. I was praying for chaos.
Omaha! One thing that wasn't great from the draft, I just thought it was really interesting and funny. Not even interesting, just funny. They announced the date for the schedule release.
Oh, my God.
That was a bananas promo. So they did a whole bit. Colleen Wolf gets credit because she didn't read off the cue card. I don't remember who the other girl was, and she read off the cue card. I know her name, but now it's escaping me.
Laura Rutledge.
Laura Rutledge. She's usually good at what she does, but she read off the cue card and bothered the daylights out of me.
It felt like a bad SNL skit.
It was not good.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, so what are they out here going to, what are they going to do? What's this big release? What's the reveal? What are they doing? May 14th. Keep your schedules open. Oh, okay.
And here's the thing. Colleen and Laura are so awesome. They are. They're just so, I mean, they're so damn talented. They put them in a no-win situation. No one cares about schedule release during the first round of the draft, let alone the draft at all.
You're doing an event that is just you reading names off of cards.
Like, and it
already
works.
Whacks away. They somehow get drama out of that. I think they just wondered how far can we push this?
How much... getting back to the milking the Jaguars last night conversation at the end of the show.
Which, by the way, was that as clairvoyant guilt gets?
That they were trying to milk the Jaguars?
They were trying to milk the Jaguars, turns out. What'd you say, like a cow or something? I don't know. I mean, it was, in hindsight, incredibly dismissive of my they should milk the Jaguars take.
No, I was trying to help you build. I was trying to build the... Build the I asked him if it was going to be 2% or no. All right, just go to the next one. Oh, all right. Gosh, I don't even know anymore. One of the coolest moments of the draft was the entire town of Green Bay celebrating, not just drafting Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden at about 11 p.m. at night, but also just the fact that the Packers were making any sort of selection. It is wild that this song is a song. It's the most redundant song in the world since like Chumbawamba ate up the airwaves.
I mean, they have traditions that are a million years old because they're one of the original million years old franchises.
I can't remember which Columbus Ohio State beat reporter was like, "Is there not more to this song?" And I'm like, "You want like a problematic second verse?" Like, yeah, this one was written in the 1920s. Sure, it's going to age well. Could Green Bay, with the energy they had last night, have crushed it more?
It was pretty remarkable. I saw someone tweet out, 80,000 people go see the Pope's, the Pope's body when it's, after he passed away.
Yeah.
But the NFL gets 250,000 people for naming off names. Like, it's wild what happened.
So, do we need a placebo effect? Do we need to, try and find, Like, basically, night two of the NFL draft versus, let's have the Pope in Chicago tonight.
Did you on Facebook the other day put your submission out for... you want to be Pope?
Yeah.
Are you baptized?
No.
Are you out of the running to be Pope?
I'm
baptized. I'm in the running. I don't know if you guys know this or not. I'm in the running. That's all it takes. You have to be baptized.
With love.
If you want to go ahead and put me up for consideration, I'll take the consideration.
I think I would make such a better Pope than you.
On what grounds?
All of them, every grounds, especially Italian grounds.
Just because you watch every episode of Righteous Gemstones doesn't mean all of a sudden you'd be selected to be the Pope.
I'm just going to tell you, I've got a very, people have said, very saintly presence about myself.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Is that what
I love Italian people? I love Italian food.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, no, I mean, because you're going to live in Italy. You got to really embrace the lifestyle, right? I look good in those Pope hats. You kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, because I'm averse to pasta, apparently. I couldn't fit in.
I just don't think you could wear it's called a mitre. I don't think you'd pull off a mitre.
You're right.
It's a face shape thing.
You're right.
I have a great face shape. My bone structure.
That's what holds me back in this convo.
We've been saying it for a while.
The mitre. Mitre, I hardly know her. Roger Goodell said he started thinking last night that the NFL needs to speed up the draft. One idea he floated.
Just last night.
I know. He's got all NFL. He is the commissioner. He can do this anytime he wants.
I have 4 hours of sleep.
At some point last night, he was like, God, you know what? We really are taking this longer than we need to.
I think that was about his 15th vodka and soda in.
Shorten the first round clock to 7 minutes with the option to add 2 minutes, according to Pat McAfee. But a team only once gets that option. Are you in favor of that? We go 7 minutes in between picks. You get one more one throughout the entire draft of, like, I need an extra 2 minutes that you can use.
Oh, no. It should only be in the first 3 rounds. If some wise ass, because you know this is going to happen in the NFL, where it's like 3 minutes for like a seventh round pick, and they'll be like, I need 2 more minutes. You know that's going to happen, right?
Yeah. It'll happen a lot. It'll be bothersome.
By the way, they don't need to shorten the draft. It was fantastic. Last night, knocked it out of the park. Come on.
It got done around midnight. Would I have hated it if it was done around 11? No.
Or just put the first night on Friday so we can just get our drink on, like,
well,
a proper Friday
night. We do need
to
have like a day like today where we can react to it all. Imagine last night happening on a Friday and
it's
us
true.
Not having a show until Monday.
It would be so stale by the time you got to Monday.
I mean, we're stealing money today. We need the Thursday start time. In fact, I can argue, let's start it on Wednesday.
No.
Give me more time to talk
about
it.
3 days, 3 nights, 3 primetime nights of the NFL draft.
Could you imagine Wednesday? Like if Thursday was Wednesday for this year, and then what happens tonight we get to react to tomorrow?
When they age.
Stealing money.
Well, here was the president's first day in office. Here was his last one, and they look 75 years older. That would happen in 3 days every year. We would age like U.S. presidents.
Omaha!
Annie Baskin replied all in a station email last night. And I replied all to make fun of him and cut him down. Andy did not like it. Should I have made fun of Andy Baskin's reply all?
Well, he was wrong in the reply all. The reply said, if this applies to you, then, you know, reply. And he just replied that it didn't. He's like, nope, doesn't apply to me at all. It's like, well, that's not what the email was, the directions on the email at all.
So I apologize to him just in case I really upset
him.
What
do you mean he didn't like it? Did he respond in the email or did he just tell you in person why you're being a jerk?
He didn't reply all on that one. He replied specifically to me.
He texted you? He texted you?
No. He replied on the email just
to
me. And he said, God help you if you ever reply all to a company email.
He's just telling you now. He's telling you.
He called me a jerk. And then today I popped in. I was like, hi, slugger. And he said, just admit you're being a you-know-what. And I was like, of course I was being a you-know-what. I don't run from being a you-know-what.
This is why you can't be Pope.
Here's the thing.
Yeah?
No, this is why I am Pope.
You're Pope?
I am Pope. Here's why I should be Pope, because I playfully corrected bad behavior and then was like, hey, are we cool? Like, hey, I love you, right? That's how the Pope does it.
Yeah, that's what a lot of the
He's
Catholic
like,
Church
hey,
is
sinner,
just like, hey.
Stop that sin. Yeah. And I was like, we cool, bro? Now, the previous popes have said it in a different accent. I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, no.
Hey, we are cool, Pope.
Get Mario now? I don't think it's a problem.
Now.
People expect this out of you, by the way. This is what you do on an email chain. This is your role. You're the only person that replies all when someone messes up.
Now, here's the thing. It's harder now to reply all than it is to just reply. You have to seek out the reply all. That's all I'm going to say. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, the plain dealer, coming up in 5 minutes. We'll talk about her reaction to Mason Graham going fifth to the Cleveland Browns, the trade down and the plan for 2025 in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.